Joining me now, the keynote for Social Media Camp 2014, the awesome Todd Maffin, social media king. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm good. Thank you for reading the intro that my mom wrote.
Now I gotta warn everybody listening that that Todd and I have a personal relationship. Does that sound awkward, Todd?
That sounds a little weird, yeah.
But we are friends. I actually got the distinct pleasure, the incredible pleasure of attending your wedding a couple of weeks ago, which was just a wonderful time. So thank you for inviting me to your wedding. So I'm going to be tossing you nothing but softballs. For the entire
well,
interview.
You were the only person who appreciated the musical theater music that was going on during dinner. So.
Well, that was strange. Now, for those of you that don't know, Todd is a big fan of musical theater, and I actually do musical theater from time to time. So I didn't mind the fact that there was show tunes running the whole time. But my partner was rolling her eyes and just looking at me, saying, "Has he ever heard of the Chili Peppers?" Yes, when music from Les Miserables starts playing at the wedding, you know that you're there with musical theater fans.
But it was a
great wedding. And how was your honeymoon? I just got to ask you quickly.
We went to Vegas the next morning and we were there for 6 days, which I think we realized is one day too long in Vegas. Saw some great shows and everything. It was fantastic.
You went to the Blue Man Group. You had a weird thing happen in the Blue Man Group. They stopped in the middle or something?
I go to Blue Man Group every time I go to Vegas. In fact, I was just in Vegas yesterday, so we came back from the honeymoon, and then 5 days later I went back out again for a speech. But I go every single time, and it's such a good show. But yeah, all of a sudden it just sort of stopped, and this announcement came on and said, we're having technical problems. And I thought someone had hurt themselves or something, but I think they just missed a cue, and it went on.
Yes, yeah, they're so tightly integrated with their technology that I imagine something like that could be, and it could become dangerous very quickly if they're not careful, that sort of thing. Well, let's first of all talk about Social Media Camp. You were there last year, but I don't think, were you speaking last year? I saw you there.
I wasn't. No, I was just attending. I would go every year, even if I wasn't speaking, as I did last year. There's just so much stuff there. So many great speakers, present company excluded, of course. It was really, really good.
So this year you are the one of the headnote keynote speakers. Not only are you a keynote speaker, but if people are so inclined, they can book to have a celebrity VIP lunch with Monsieur Maffin.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Do you know what's on the menu?
No, but I will not be cooking it, so people should be safe from salmonella.
Well, let's hope so. So what's the title of your talk?
It's Deconstructing Viral: How to Build a Killer Viral Marketing Campaign.
Really? So what is your without giving away too much? Who should be in the audience, and what are they going to be getting from it?
Well, you know, viral marketing at my company, EngageQ, it's a thing that we get asked all the time, which is how do we make our campaign go viral? And we're not just talking about the big viral videos, you know, like Dollar Shave Club or something like that. We're talking in some cases just like, how do I make a post go viral? How do I make, a tweet go viral? So a little while ago, I spent about 6 months deconstructing 50 of the world's most successful viral marketing campaigns to see if they had something in common. And this goes back to sort of my nerd days when I was a teenager, to hack into software and to remove the copy protection on games. You'd reverse engineer the software. So, and I've always kind of kept that skill set around. So I apply it to business methodologies now. So I deconstruct things just to kind of get into them and see how they work. And I was curious to know, you know, if I looked at 50 of these viral marketing campaigns, could I see whether or not there were elements that were common to all of them? And there were. As it turns out, there were six elements, I call them genetic markers, that are common to almost every single successful viral marketing campaign. And so if you program, if once you learn, and I'll be talking about what these six are, and we can talk about them here as well. Once you learn what those are and you program them into your campaign, you know, it's not a silver bullet, there's no guarantee, but the chance of your post or your video or your campaign going viral just goes up an enormous amount. So we're going to rip apart some viral marketing campaigns, deconstruct them, reverse engineer them, and then put them back together again, bigger, better, stronger than they were, like Steve Austin.
So when I think of viral, and I've been doing a lot of personal kind of musing on the concept of viral versus strategic, as far as marketing goes, because as you know, I'm heavily engaged now in trying to figure out the YouTube code, trying to figure out exactly what works and what doesn't work on YouTube. And when I look at different channels on YouTube, I see channels that have grown incredibly quickly virally through some sort of viral connection. And then I see the kind of the steady strategic growth. And I concentrate my efforts on the strategic growth because I always thought viral was something that was really catching lightning in a bottle and it would be very difficult to recreate. Are you telling me that it's no guarantee, but you can plug pieces into any marketing campaign that will give it viral credibility or viral potential?
Yeah, this will, you know, it's sort of like being struck by lightning. A lot of people believe that being struck by lightning is completely random, and it's not at all, actually. When you think of it, like, if you want to be struck by lightning, there are steps you can take which will increase the chance of you being struck by lightning. There's a fellow who's a park ranger in the U.S., and his name is Roy Sullivan, and he had a 35-year career as a park ranger in Virginia. And this guy has the world record for being hit by lightning, not once or twice, but 7 times. This poor guy has been struck by lightning. And, you know, I mean, what made him so unlucky, or lucky, depending on how you look at it, it's just circumstance. So, I mean, think about the elements that were common to him. So, you know, he worked in Virginia, which is a small number of states that is in a corridor that has a lot of thunderstorms. He spends all of his work hours outside. Those work hours are spent in wide open areas. So it's not random at all. You know, factors that made it more likely for him to be hit by lightning were aligned. So it's really simple as that. You know, it's certainly no silver bullet, as I said, but if you know these 6 elements, these 6 genetic markers to campaigns, if you program them in, those are the steps you can take which will dramatically increase post or a video or something going viral.
Let me ask you, is that your sense in you deconstructing those 50 campaigns that the people who authored them understood this genetic viral code and put it in, or was it happenstance that they happened to put these things in?
No, I don't think they were following a formula. And a lot of the campaigns that I went back to are older ones, you know, Shreddies, Old Spice, and even some viral videos that are not actually campaigns. I'm thinking of things like Double Rainbow, you know, which were not marketing campaigns, but they sort of blew up. And all of those had the same 6 markers as well. So I don't think they were conscious of it. But once you sort of understand what those 6 elements are, and then that's why I sort of did the legwork on it, they become things you can program in, essentially.
That's very cool. Now, in that carries for everything. That's going to carry through to YouTube videos as well as to graphic campaigns, as well as to everything, I guess, right?
It seems to work the best. This methodology, which is the 6 steps, seems to work the best for videos.
Okay.
Because a couple of them are emotional based. You know, there's an element of emotion. Mm-hmm. So, but it does work with posts. I mean, you know, you can create a post that's emotional. I mean, think about the Upworthies of the world and even some of the BuzzFeeds out there. Some of those links have a high degree of emotion. And they also use a lot of these keys, a lot of these genetic markers, probably accidentally, but it works.
Well, I am going to be looking forward to taking in this, because I always was of the opinion that viral was happenstance and that I should just think strategically. But you're causing me pause to think it over again. So I'm not saying I'm going to agree with you yet, Maffin. I'm just saying I'm going to think about it. Okay.
Absolutely.
and just out of curiosity, at the lunch, are you just talking to people or are you serving them?
I will not be serving them because I'm incredibly clumsy. But it's going to be kind of an open forum. I've actually got 3 business tools that I use that nobody seems to have heard of that have revolutionized the way we do business at EngageQ. And it's really inexpensive. They're web services. So I'll be sharing how those work. One of them is Zapier. You've heard of Zapier, haven't you, Steve?
Yeah, well, I use If This and That all the time because it's cheaper.
Yeah, If This and That is the free consumer version of it. So you can connect things with like photos and the lights in your house. Well, Zapier is that for business. So for instance, my team, we're in a chat room with video all day long. And anytime a client views an invoice, we get a notification. Anytime they pay, anytime a client account of ours sends a tweet out, you know, there's all these different things that are sort of all connected through Zapier. So I'll be talking a lot about Zapier and 2 other services that are really, really strong that we love. And then it's just kind of an open forum. You know, I think there's only 40 people they're accepting in. It's the first 40. And so we're going to be, you know, giving those people an opportunity to ask, you know, all the really kind of deep questions that they're after. So, you know, like show me like step by step, walk me through how I do conversion tracking on Twitter or something like that, you know? So we have the time, because it's more of an intimate group, to get into that level of detail.
While I will try and crash it, maybe I can. I might be just try and masquerade myself as a waiter during it. That's giving me an idea. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to waiter bomb your event after you photobombed my event last year. If anybody's interested, they actually I'll probably post it as the poster image for this is Todd's famous photobomb of.
I have to say that was a spectacular photobomb.
So in revenge, I photobombed your wife at her wedding. And
several photos she reminded me.
And one of those pretty much went viral. Beeler told me that it's been picked up an awful lot, and a lot of people have been kind of slightly criticizing me about the fact that you would do that to a beautiful bride at her wedding. But I go, heck, I'm in the picture. I got it. And I was an invited guest. It's not like I was just some random dude walking by. So let's take advantage of the fact that I've got you here for a few more minutes, and you can't leave comfortably until I actually release you and get you to give us kind of state of the nation on what's happening in the social media platforms. And let's start with Facebook. They've been beaten up an awful lot in the press and by a lot of social media marketers with their changes to organic search and that. So what's your take on what's happening with Facebook and where it's at today?
Yeah, this was predictable, sadly. What's happened is that, when you started a brand page on Facebook, which was free, you were reaching about 20% of your fans. It wasn't unlike Twitter, where every single tweet you post can be seen on what is Twitter's equivalent news feed, I guess you could call it, their stream. Facebook filters them out. And the reason they do that is they say on average, if they weren't filtering it, the average person would have 1,500 updates every time they logged in every day to Facebook. And that's because they follow, hundreds of brands and they've got, a couple hundred friends. So there'd be just so many different posts. So they filter it down. But they have been slashing that, what we nerds call organic reach, which is the number of people that brands can reach. Right? And we're talking about the number of people who've already indicated that they like your page, that they want your content. For the longest time, it was around 16%. The latest numbers I heard from last month were a little over 6% now, and Facebook says that it is expecting to slash that to between 1% and 2%. So if you have 100 fans on your Facebook page or 1,000 fans on your Facebook page, only 10 to 20 are going to see your posts ever, even though they like your page, unless you cough up a little bit of money. And so Facebook is doing that. And what bothers me as well is that Facebook is removing a lot of really good advertising tools. There was a time, and fairly recently, where you could say, okay, fine, you know what? Just I will give you money every time I post on my page, just promote it. Just I'll give you some money and just send it out to more people. And a couple of weeks ago, they stopped that. So you can no longer automatically promote your most recent post. You have to manually do it post by post.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And they didn't, Facebook is not very good at communicating. They didn't tell anyone this. We went to set up a campaign for a client like that, and we just noticed it when Facebook had a little thing popped up and said, sorry, you can't do that anymore. So they're changing it. You used to be able to target very small groups, pages with 100 people or 200 people. And now if the bucket of people you're advertising to is not big enough in terms of Facebook's group, then they simply will not let you place the ad. LinkedIn is like this as well. I think LinkedIn requires a minimum of 1,000 people. So I'm not thrilled with what Facebook is doing. That's for sure.
In as a brand, rhyme nor reason does not seem to enter into it. And we have to remember that there's a lot of brands like you and I who are not necessarily selling anything, but we're instead providing valuable content that people are interested in consuming. So it's not really a revenue property for us in a lot of cases. Yet I've noticed I've never really invested heavily in Facebook as much as others have, but I in the course of 1 week, I had two different posts that were both, neither one promoted. They were just for my how-to videos that I post, right? And one of them has, and I've only got 3,000 or so fans on my Facebook page. One of them has 2,400 views, and another one has 51 views.
Yeah.
And so, but the content is essentially identical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's different content, but the same timber. And it's so it as for me, it drives me crazy. However, I still think Facebook is the cheapest way to reach a custom audience. To reach
here's the secret to get more organic reach is you've got to get people engaging with you. And there's great speakers at Social Media Camp like Matt Astavan who are going to be talking about that kind of stuff. But you know, here's a little tip that we use. Now, don't do this every month because your fans and friends will tire of it fairly quickly. But for everyone who engages with your post, you know, like for instance, commenting or sharing, you will get increased edge rank with them. So they from then on will see more of your posts in their news feed. So you kind of bypass that. And here's the little secret dirty trick. Here's the post you should use. Don't do it any more than twice a year at the most. And you want to promote this post or you want to spend money behind it. Are you ready? You're going to hate me. I'm horribly unethical. You say, just testing. Please comment below if you can see this.
Oh, nasty.
So what happens is that pops up in people's news feeds. You've promoted it, so you've gotten it on the news feed of a whole bunch of people. People will help you. People will, like, I see this. And simply the fact that they've commented increases your edge rank with them in the future. And that is one of a few kind of killer tactics.
I would recommend you do that quickly, because when Facebook figures that out, they're going to slam you for that. They just do that kind of thing. I actually haven't seen one. I've seen the very irritating personal post that comes up from friends that says, I've been thinking about the number of people following me, and if you really like me and honor my friendship, you're going to copy and paste this and talk about where we first met.
Yeah.
I hate that one. It's not the one that I hate most, but that one I hate a lot. So I just put into every person's that puts that up, I put in steam bath just to see.
Steam bath?
Yeah, that's where we first met. Oh. Steam bath. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I put in. It's what I put in. It creates some awkward conversations at the home front, I think. So, well, you know, what can you do? I mean, seriously, what can you do? Okay, so Facebook is continuing on a disenfranchising path where they continue to grow, but they continue to really brown off the people who give them the money, which is you and I. But you know, the bottom line is we're still going to spend money with them because it's a cheap way for us to reach an audience. I just spend absolutely no energy whatsoever building my brand on Facebook anymore.
Is that right?
Really? Yeah. Well, I don't see the point in it. I don't see the point because I know they're going to continuously change the rules. And I can reach the people I want to reach if I have to pay anyways to reach people on Facebook. I mean, I still post all of my content on Facebook and still engage. But do I spend thought one at how to grow my audience on Facebook? No, I've stopped doing that. Instead, I say when I've got something that's worth sharing into a custom market, I say, okay, how am I going to, what's it going to cost me to reach an audience with this? And what's the value going to be? So I still play that game, but I don't spend any time saying, hey, please like my page, build, you know, grow, because it gives me no extra. I know there are some things that I can do, but there's not enough that makes it worth that effort. I would much rather spend my energy growing on what I consider to be the most democratic of social platforms is YouTube.
Yeah, well, you're doing killer on YouTube, that's for sure.
Well, I'm enjoying YouTube. And here's the thing that I like about YouTube. And when we talk about Facebook with all of the different changing rules and the shifting landscape, YouTube, to me now, Todd, has become the comfortable, reliable, trustworthy social network, because it's only they've disenfranchised everybody who wants to just troll and be critical by forcing all comments to go through Google Plus now, through your Google account. So they've totally taken away all of the abuse that happened, or a lot of the abuse. And the other thing is there's no tricks that you can do to boost search, to boost yourself in YouTube search. If your videos are viewed by people and valued, if they're liked and they measure how long they're watched, they rise in their search rank. It's as simple. And if you have a successful video that people watch for a long time and you do a keyword search on it, you'll see it rising to the top of the heap as far as you. And I mean, what more can you ask than a trustworthy partner?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of a lot of good to YouTube. It's certainly very high in SEO ranking. So you know, when people search for something on Google, if you've got a YouTube video in there, it certainly rises to the top.
It does help. So let's. But the other social network which we haven't talked about in this series with anybody yet is Twitter. What's your take on what's happening in the Twittersphere? They're starting to now include Twitter advertising. Any of your clients engaging in that?
A little bit. You know, we've sponsored hashtags before for clients. We do that from time to time ourselves. In fact, during Social Media Camp, my company is going to be doing some advertising work with Twitter. So, yeah, you know, the problem with Twitter, I find, is it's quite expensive. You know, you're looking at a cost of about sometimes, you know, $1.50 to $2.50 per engagement, and the engagement can be a response or a retweet or a follow. So it's certainly not as cheap as you can get. I mean, we're getting, for our clients, we're getting likes on Facebook at sort of the 20-cent range right now, which is quite a bit cheaper. I mean, obviously, we've got some sort of tricks to get it down in price, but Twitter, you don't seem to be able to do that, and so it can be quite expensive. But it's nice that they recently opened it up to self-service ads in Canada. For the longest time, if you wanted to place an ad from within Canada on Twitter, you had to get an account manager at Twitter, email them. They would send you an insertion order. The minimum buy was $15,000. That you have to commit to spending. So just about a month or two ago, they turned on self-service advertising, so it's a lot better. Although they still haven't turned over a lot of accounts. So I would say anyone who's listening, log into your Twitter account and go up to the little wrench icon and go to Twitter ads and try to create a campaign. And if it still says contact your account manager to get an insertion order, tweet Twitter ads or send a help request, because you can actually do it self-service now. But they've been a little slow to the market here, I think.
Do you think that Twitter ads are going to find their place? At $1 to $1.50 for such a transient engagement, I question that.
I think they will. You know, I mean, part of it is that they're being fairly deliberate in the markets that they're going after. One huge market for them is television. So I think you'll see entertainment brands taking advantage of it, sponsoring hashtags. You know, one of the great things about Twitter is you can use it as sort of a free, massive focus group. And this is why on television shows, they're always putting their hashtag at the bottom. And they don't really care that much if you tweet. What they want to do is they want to measure what people are saying about it. So it's back in the day, there wasn't a name for it. We would call it sentiment analysis now. But I used to, you know, back when you and I were connected, I owned a .com company called Mindful Eye. And we did that manually. We would scrape web forums and the closed caption on TV, newscasts, and web pages is before Twitter, before APIs existed, and try to determine what the content was and what the what people were saying about it. So it would analyze the English language and try to pull out sentiment. Well, there's a whole category now that's grown up in that, and it's being used very effectively. So I think Twitter is focused more on very specific verticals like television and entertainment. They still haven't quite caught up to the small business focus that Facebook seems to be going after.
Mm-hmm. Now, so your talk is, the keynote is launching the Open of Social Media Camp. You're going to be hanging around for pretty much the entire camp, are you?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there the whole time. And my company, EngageQ, is a big sponsor of the event. We'll have a booth there, and my colleague David Twano will be there talking to folks. So obviously, you know, we'd love to help people out. So we'll be there for EngageQ.com. But yeah, no, I'll just be wandering around. And, you know, I think as long as you can get past my entourage and 8 bodyguards, I'm relatively approachable and happy to sit down for coffee if people just have questions and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that is the beauty of Social Media Camp, is it's the network. The speakers are great, but the networking is what I really resonated with me last time, is the number of new contacts that I made, the number of ideas that I was exposed to, and it was pretty was fun, and it's been a long time since I felt that sense of community at a conference, and that's what I like about Social Media Camp. So
they've done a great job with the content from people. I think they said they've got, what is it, like 45 speakers or something. Like there's content for everyone there, from Instagram to LinkedIn to more traditional marketing automation. I mean, it's just a really I don't think anyone who does social media or digital marketing or digital communications, even for any organization, should definitely make it a priority to come to this. It's the best in the country, and I go to a lot of these, as do you.
Yeah, and they've got a lot. They've got tracks for the public sector, for charities and nonprofits.
My friend are returning as the MC for the Social Media Awards. I see.
I am. Yes.
Performance last year.
Despite my performance, I'm doing dual duty this year. I'm giving a talk on growing a YouTube audience, and I'm actually doing triple duty. They got me working so hard, Todd. I'm doing these things, quadruple duty. Holy cow! Yeah. It's just layering on top of me. I'm doing these little podcasts for them. I'm doing an opening night. I think you're going to be part of that opening night. We're doing a kind of a talk show format where we're just going to be riffing on all things social media related as a part of the kind of the gala they have, not a gala, but the party they have before the opening night event. So we're going to be doing some sort of a Tonight Show type format type thing. Then I'm going to be giving my talk on YouTube, and then I'm going to be hosting the Social Media Awards, which is just fun. I mean, it's just basically looking at all excellence in social media and herding cats. And I'm also going to be recording a whole series of short little interviews with keynote speakers and the speakers at it. We've got going to have a little room set up. So we'll be seeing you again there. We'll be picking your brain. They're going to be releasing those as podcasts through the year so that they can extend what social media camp is through the year. So got lots happening.
Slacking off is what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, I publish now on YouTube every day. I'm used to a heavy duty workload, but I think I'm going to be even busier than normal at social media camp. Which reminds me, I got to pre-record a whole bunch of demos. Can you help me out, Todd?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and you know, I mean, I was a judge last year for the awards. They asked me to be a judge this year, but unfortunately, one of our clients, Woodgrove Center in Nanaimo, is a nominee, so I had to recuse myself from that. But
that's a big job. You guys had a lot of work to do.
With what? Oh, with the judging. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was I really respected what you guys, because you guys had to go through a lot of really good sites. And
there's something like 10 categories, and we had 5 nominees for each category. And so, you know, you're looking at 50 briefs essentially of, and it's all done in this kind of monster spreadsheet. And yeah, no, it took, it was the better part of a couple of days to go through it. So they give a lot of thought to it. It's, you know, it's quite an honor to win one of those things.
Yes, indeed. And I'm looking forward to that as well. And this year it's open to the public. Last year it was a dinner. This year it's going to be open. There's going to be a cash bar at it. It should be a lot of fun.
Great.
Todd Maffin, people want to follow you, toddmaffin.com or EngageQ is your website. I got those correct, didn't I?
Yep, EngageQ.com or toddmaffin.com, and same on Twitter, Todd Maffin or EngageQ on Twitter as well.
I look forward to seeing you coming up next month at Social Media Camp. Todd Maffin is the keynote speaker. I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks for spending time with us today.